Welcome to the Executive Security Podcast, where we talk to CISOs and other leaders in cybersecurity about a career in this industry, specifically how to get into it and how to advance. My name is Gene Fay, the CEO of ThreatX, an API and application security company, and the host of the Executive Security Podcast. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. We're thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to be joined by Kyle McIntyre, who is not a cybersecurity practitioner, but the owner of a cybersecurity recruiting firm, McIntyre & Associates. So, Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Gene.
And he's also a new dad, so he's quite busy. So I read up a little, and it sounds like your dad started the business, and you've been working, you took it over, and sounds like it's a really successful business.
Yeah, well, thanks, and happy to kind of tell you the whole story here. And I won't take too much time on that because my bio is available on my website. But sure, I run an executive search practice focused on cybersecurity. It's called McIntyre Associates. Today, it's just me, but you're right. My dad did found the company and, you know, way back in the 80s and kind of focused on different industries until 2001 when he helped build the team at a company called Foundstone. And then from then on, it was 100% focused on the cybersecurity industry, mostly on the vendor side. And, you know, we did help build a management team for a company called CrowdStrike. And around the time of that IPO, dad retired and I kind of took everything over full time. And it's just me now. So, of course, he consults and I talk to him every couple of days because he can't, old habits die hard, right? He wants to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
But I spend virtually 100% of my time on the cybersecurity industry, both on the vendor side and on the non-vendor side, hiring companies that are looking to hire more technical security talent and CISOs and things like that.
Sure, absolutely. And you said executive search. So maybe a lot of our listeners are just entering their careers or early in their career. So what does an executive search firm do versus their typical recruiters that maybe they're getting reached out to and getting in contact with?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's it's a good distinction to make. So I'm a retained executive search specialist. And so what that means is I kind of work on very specific projects, a few at a time. So a company may retain me to say, go find the perfect chief marketing officer for them if it's on the vendor side. If it's on the, you know, non-cybersecurity vendor side, it might be a retained search effort for a chief information security officer or a chief product security officer, or maybe some more niche kind of hard to fill roles. So, you know, I only handle a couple of searches at a time and I get very kind of deeply involved in the search work that I do.
Sure. But through your work, you get exposed to a lot of what's going on in this industry. So maybe we'll jump to the next question. You know, what does cybersecurity hiring look like right now? And what are some of the trends that companies are looking for?
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a difficult year, of course, like not just for the cybersecurity industry, but kind of tech overall. So we had a lot of headwinds this year, right? Lots of layoffs and stuff like that. And in my opinion, it kind of kicked off by macroeconomic pressures, right? Like the Fed raising interest rates over and over again for the first time in a long time. And so, you know, while it's been a difficult year, both for cyber vendors and for kind of on the practitioner side as well, I'm very optimistic about 2024. I think we have a lot of tailwinds heading into the new year. You know, number one, the Fed is probably going to stop raising rates for a little bit. They may even cut, I hear, in the next year. We'll see what happens there. But beyond that, right, we have a general kind of increased awareness of the importance of cybersecurity, not just like in the industry, but kind of just in the world in general. In fact, I find it striking that the number one movie on Netflix right now is all about a cyber attack against the US. And it's a great movie, by the way, but it'll give you nightmares. So there's this general kind of increased focus on cybersecurity. And at the same time, you have SEC regulations that are pushing companies to pay, you know, more attention to cyber and to be more open with the world about what they have going on in cyber, not just, you know, related to breaches, but also their cyber preparedness and everything like that. And then you couple that with the fact that we have kind of an increased frequency of notable cybersecurity events, or I should say maybe an increased frequency of reporting of those events. But just in the last couple of months, right, you have MGM, Clorox, you know, SEC actions against SolarWinds security leader as well. And so it seems like, you know, maybe a year or two ago, you might hear about cybersecurity every once in a while when you turn on the news, but now it's like every day, right? And it's not just, it's CNBC, they're talking about cyber almost every day, you know, and all the other news outlets as well. So I think heading into the new year with this kind of increased focus on cyber and need for cyber, I have high hopes that, you know, hiring will start to ramp back up, not just for the vendors, but...
Yeah, I think it's a great point in terms of what's going on in the macro perspective. Having been in cybersecurity for 17 years, you know, I will say it's the most difficult environment selling products to companies right now, as well as seeing for the first time, I say nearly ever, you know, hearing from CISOs that don't have jobs. Like, that was unheard of even a year and a half ago. And, you know, we talk about this dearth of open positions, but I've seen layoffs in some of the biggest companies in the world affecting the cyber teams. And that was just never the case. Like, during bad economic times, you'd see a flattening or a pause on hiring, but reduction of staff is just unheard of. So I think the difficult news for our listeners is, like, it's even more difficult now to get a job than it was a year and a half ago. But the good news is there's still opportunities. And I think you're going to the next point is it will help our listeners think about it. So you talk about the role of research in figuring out your career and kind of what advice you'd give those looking to get into the field of cybersecurity, and specifically doing really good research to figure out what they want to do next.
Yeah. So research can be your superpower. I know it is for me. Like, in my role, you know, I do everything start to finish, and my work product is only as good as my research. And without getting too much into what I do, knowledge is power, right? So if you can conduct effective research, that benefit is just going to continue to compound as you go. And so when we think about potential career paths in cybersecurity, it's kind of it's mystified a little bit, right? Let's say you want to become a CISO at some point. How do you get there, right? There's not just one straight line to get to that role. So what I would say is, for the uninitiated, pick an industry. If it's not the cybersecurity vendor community, let's say, you know, it's the airline industry and you want to become a CISO of an airline or something like that, go kind of map out that industry. And you can use ChatGPT or something like that to drop a list quickly. You know, give me a list of publicly traded, whatever, insert industry here, companies. And then once you have that list, start kind of digging in. You can even stay in ChatGPT for a minute and say, hey, tell me who the CISOs of these companies are. It might be accurate.
It might be dated. It might be inaccurate, but sure. It'll give you a frame of reference.
And if you can start to find those people's LinkedIn profiles or articles that have been written about them or whatever, interviews that they've given, those are all helpful. But in particular, the LinkedIn profiles, you scroll all the way down to kind of where they started, right? And you see, if you take five different CISOs, their first kind of job is going to be different probably from, you know, person to person. It could be they started in IT. Maybe they actually started in security and stayed there all the way. Maybe they started as a solutions engineer. I've seen that too. So you would be surprised kind of how many different roads can lead you to the job that you want one day. And then beyond that, doing that for different functions. Let's say you are interested in the cybersecurity vendor community and you know, not as much on the practitioner side. There's so many different ways to contribute here. So go look at some CMOs, go look at some CFOs and figure out kind of how they got there. It'll blow your mind how many different ways there are to get to that role that you want, but it's also going to help you kind of demystify how companies work, how they're composed. You know what I mean? So there's that. And then, you know, beyond that, it's going to help you craft, you know, effective outreach campaigns. It's going to help you with your resume because you're going to kind of have a better idea of what these hiring managers are looking for. And probably we're getting into the next topic, but let me pause here and just make sure I answer the question.
You made some great points there, Kyle. So I just kind of circle on things that really resonated with me is picking industry specific, use airlines because that's what you chose, but it's like identifying in your outreach that, hey, this, you're not in cybersecurity, but you want to get into the field of cybersecurity for airlines because of such and such. You find interest. You've written some code or you've created some best practices that in your mind can be shared to be able to help you to do that. I think that's really good advice. And I think that, you know, for many of our listeners just trying to get into the industry, the more you can customize that message to identify, to stand out. Because if you're just sending out, hey, I want to get into a SOC and I'm sending the same exact cover letter to CBS and to American Airlines and to ThreatX, you know, it sounds and looks like everybody else. But if you say, hey, you know, my desire is to work for a security vendor in SOC and specifically in API security. Well, hey, you know what? Neil Wetzel will probably, you know, take a look at that because that's exactly what he's looking for. And I think that's the way to start to stand out here and really to identify yourself amongst a lot of people that are applying for these jobs, especially as the market gets more difficult, because now you have people with experience that are trying to get into entry level positions. So you got to do your research. I think that's just great guidance
for sure. And I mean, when you do go to actually send your resume out or you're applying to jobs, like I wouldn't stop at just sending a job application with your resume. Like, try to find the hiring manager, try to find the recruiting partner, the HR business partner, reach out to them too, but make sure that you're doing it in a kind of short and sweet targeted message, that the resume, you know, is, it doesn't have to be one page, right? But it shouldn't be full of fluff. It should be, you know, and you know, make sure you're reaching out to the right person. And how do you do that? It's research, right?
Yeah.
So when you do find that person to reach out, my recommendation there, like I said, keep it short and sweet. And I forget where I saw this, but somebody had posted or somebody talked about an F-shaped message. Are you familiar with that? Yeah. So basically an F-shaped message, if you like have an email up on your screen and you take a, you know, you sit back and look at it, it should kind of look like the shape of an F, you know, maybe a longer paragraph, a shorter paragraph, and then a very short, you know, closing. And it doesn't even have to be that long. If you can get your message through and just provide a little tidbit to get the reader interested in taking a deeper look, and then maybe you have the resume there for them if they want, I think that's powerful, because people just get slammed with so many, with spam and sales folks and also job applicants. And it's hard to kind of filter through all of that. So you don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
And then if you do get an interview, that's a whole other, you know, conversation.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're talking about kicking the door open. And once you get in there, sit down, what do you do next? I think that's a whole nother episode for the future. But I do think one of the things that I've been emphasizing to young people when they reach out to me is, because it's gotten higher to find a job in cybersecurity, is to be more flexible. And what I mean by that is, hey, if you can't get a job in security, look at IT Help Desk. It is a great place to get in the door of some fantastic companies and make your mark, show that you are eager, hardworking, let everybody know you want to eventually get into cybersecurity, but you're going to be laser focused on being the best at the IT Help Desk. And people, I talk to so many CISOs of small, medium, large companies say, my best pool of candidates are internal IT Help Desk. Now, IT Help Desk isn't always happy that they're getting their best people poached, sure, but that's an internal politics. But I think that's the other thing is to be willing to work other shifts. Like, you know, so instead of looking for, you know, work the overnight shift, a lot of managed security service providers are in need of people on the second and third shift.
Right.
So yeah, it's not ideal. It, you know, working night sucks, but again, getting in the door, proving that you are, you know, be the best person that night shift, you know, in no time you will be, you know, one of the, you know, you'll be moved to the day shift. At a minimum, you have those, you're getting your hours. You're getting your, you know, now next, you know, next job, you're going to be able to say, hey, look, I've done this sort of job. So I think having that level of creativity. And the last piece of advice we always give people is, like, there are still so many local, you know, I should say they're getting back to so many local cybersecurity events that you should just attend them, whether it's a B-side or any of these other things. And even better, volunteer, be a part of these organizations and let people know, like, hey, I'm just getting to know people. I'm just learning, because that's another, just a massive wealth of information and a great community that's going to want to help you to break in here. So I think those are the types of things to really help you.
And for the people who aren't, you know, local for those events, or they can't get to those events, I should add, part of your research, go to YouTube, because, you know, there are tons and tons of RSA, Black Hat, B-sides, you know, keynotes and other, you know, speakers and stuff that you can learn an awful lot from. And also that may help you network, because all of a sudden you're going to know about somebody who's, you know, notable enough to be a keynote speaker or whatever like that. And I love what you said about about being flexible, because let's say you do take that night shift, you know, it's hard to compete in an MSS, you know, MSP or SOC for hire business unless you're doing that follow the sun model. You're going to have unique experiences on that night shift that you're not going to get during the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And other kinds of people. And the last thing I'll add about being flexible is if you do get into that interview, one of the things that I think, especially young people looking to get into the industry, sometimes struggle with is accepting negative feedback or tough feedback, right? And I think one of the things that can really set you aside from maybe even some of the more experienced people that are out there is your level of self-awareness, your humility, and your like willingness to want to grow. Instead of taking that feedback and being defensive or taking it personally, look at it as an opportunity to grow. Because those are the kind of folks that people love to hire. You got to be coachable. You got to want to learn. And I said that was the last thing I'll say. This is really the last thing I'll say. Whatever job you're in, whatever job you find yourself in, make yourself as indispensable as possible in that job, because that's only going to help you, you know?
No, for sure. For sure. You know, last question. What would you say to someone trying to break into this industry, but who's struggling with, you know, the old imposter syndrome?
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I'm glad is getting more discussion lately. And for anybody who's kind of not familiar with that term, imposter syndrome, it refers to this phenomenon of kind of like feeling like you don't deserve what you've worked for, or like you don't belong, even if there's nothing, you know, rational pointing to that. And it, you know, it typically comes from a place of insecurity, but also wanting to be better, wanting to do better. And so I think that it serves a constructive purpose sometimes. Kind of like fear, right? Fear is there to help protect us. But if you allow yourself to get too carried away, paying too much attention and energy to the fear, it's going to keep you from living your life, right? It's the same thing here. You know, it's natural to feel this way when you're pushing your boundaries and you're learning new things and you're putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. And I think it's a fine line between being constructive and being destructive. So that internal monologue that you have that says, oh, maybe I should have tried harder, or maybe I should have, you know, worked harder, I didn't do so good on that interview, that can be helpful, right? It's kind of like it's there for a reason. But if you allow that train of thought to kind of run off the tracks, it becomes what a lot of people call negative self-talk. And I'm not a psychologist, although I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, but it doesn't get a whole lot of use. But this negative self-talk, I think if you can become aware when it's happening and be mindful of that, shut it down. Sure, take whatever lessons you need to take from it. But once you've acknowledged that it's there, you can't just keep, you know, letting it take over your mental space. Like, you have to shut it off at some point. You know, and the other thing I'll add around that is, like, you should talk to yourself like you talk to your best friend. And sometimes your best friend needs some hard truth, right? And sometimes your best friend needs to be told to take it easy on themselves. And so I would just be very mindful of the internal dialogue that you're having there.
Yeah, especially in a job search, because there's 100%. A lot of dark moments. There's a lot of loneliness where your relatives are trying to show encouragement. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it could sound discouraging what they're saying to you, like, hey, just go get a job, you know, any job, just to get back, you know, whatever. Like, you got to have your vision of who you want to be. You got to work your plan. You got to do the hours to find the job. And I always talk about my nephew. I'm really proud of the job he most recently got. But he really worked a process and came out of the military and kind of laser focused on what he wanted to do. And really proud of the process that he worked in. That's what it is. You know, you have to do that. And it's difficult. And you can lament, oh man, I wish I would have graduated 2 years ago, or I wish I didn't just get laid off. Like, just again, to your point, that's the internal noise. You know, let it wash over you and get back to putting the reps in and doing the things you need to do on LinkedIn and on career boards and networking to get yourself out there, because the opportunities are there for the people that want to keep looking for them. I promise you that.
Yeah. And listen, every job description you read, every interview you take, every rejection you get, this is all valuable experience. I mean, it's tough, but you got to keep your morale up. You know, confidence is one thing, but morale, you know, having the enthusiasm to keep fighting that fight, I think is so, so important. So, you know, be kind to yourself, give yourself a break, go take a walk, you know, whatever you need to do. But prevent that negative self-talk from really taking over.
Well said, Kyle. Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Kyle, for joining us today. Really appreciate it. I knew it would be a great episode, and it definitely was. As a reminder to our listeners, thank you. And as a reminder to our listeners looking to up their cybersecurity skills, you can get 1 year free content from our cybersecurity training portal, ThreatX Academy, by using the promo code podcast. ThreatX Academy covers a wide variety of cybersecurity topics. You can learn more by going to academy.threatx.com. Also, check out a recent popular episode with M.K. Palmore, who's the director in the office of the CISO at Google and the VP at Cyversity. Great episode, and he is super inspiring. So please check out that episode after you're done listening to this one. And finally, if you're looking to up your skills and learn more about API and application security, please visit our website, threatx.com. Kyle, thank you very much. We're recording this right around the holidays, so please have a great holiday season with your family, and look forward to staying in touch.
Thanks so much, Gene. It was a pleasure, and likewise.